Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're trying to figure this out. What does this 10-day ceasefire actually mean, especially in a region as complex as the Middle East is? Key questions, of course, are always going to be the same. Who benefits and will it actually hold? Is it a genuine step to de-escalation, or is it really just a pause that will allow both sides to regroup? Dr. Dan Dyker is the president of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. A very, very good morning. Thank you for being with us. Can we just start with who stands to gain most, in your view, from this 10-day ceasefire?
Well, Howard, first of all, it's always a pleasure to be with you in Chai Radio and SA. The questions that you asked in the opening just a minute ago are exactly the questions that we're asking here in Jerusalem among military planners, intelligence people, and experts in the field, because it's entirely unclear where we stand right now. This is, you know, if we look at this last 6 week period since the war began, it's been one major confusion because it's become a start again, stop again situation where the President Trump has been using ceasefire as a weapon in order to, on the one hand, buy time for the United States to bring additional military assets into the region. And I must mention again that the United States today has three of its most powerful aircraft carriers in the region, some 70,000 military personnel, and thousands upon thousands of special forces ready to, as the Secretary of War Hegseth said yesterday, were locked and loaded and ready to fire if these talks are not parlayed into something. Allow me to say that from a cognitive standpoint, this has been a major win for the Iranian regime, because the Iranian regime, as you and I have chatted about before, their victory is every day that they survive. Every day the regime survives is a major victory for Iran. And what has happened here is that Iran is operating on multiple fronts, and Hezbollah is an Iranian proxy. They take their orders from Iran. They get their supplies from Iran. They get their money from Iran. So the attempt by many to say that Hezbollah is sort of a separate war from U.S., Israel, and the Iranian regime in Tehran is simply untrue. It's all one integrated multi-front war. And here what has happened is that because of the beginning of, I would say, talks, not even negotiations, in Washington between our very abled ambassador, Dr. Yechiel Leiter, but together with Secretary of State Marco Rubio of the United States, there is overall sense of optimism regarding the possibility of parallel success in parallel talks, on the one hand between the Iranian regime in Pakistan, led by Field Marshal Asim Munir, and then and parallel talks in Lebanon. I personally am suspect that these talks will bear fruit, each for its own reason. But what the Iranian regime has done now is to buy time in order to recover and in order to manifest its extremely cunning strategies. By ultimately, Howard, isolating Israel. That was always the regime strategy. Isolate Israel, embrace the United States to a certain degree, but divide and conquer. So that Israel is out there isolated, fighting Hezbollah. Hezbollah is a strong enemy. It's still alive and kicking. The Iranian regime is still on its feet, alive and kicking. So it really remains to be seen, as you said in the opening, as to whether this sort of respite, it's not even a ceasefire, it's a respite from massive U.S. military power, you know, in terms of bombing Iranian infrastructure and so on, that respite, and we have to see whether that respite will force Israel to stop firing. I hope not, because for Israel, this is a war of existence, and for the United States, it's a war of strategic interest, particularly economic interest.
When Israel carried out the pager attack and then followed that up by hitting Hezbollah very, very hard in Lebanon, we thought that Hezbollah was pretty much on its knees. It turned out that it got up; they could get up from their knees, and obviously we're quite skeptical, therefore, about that happening again. That said, the situation then with regard to Iran was different. Iran was in a significantly stronger position. They are facing domestic pressure. Much of their leadership has been destroyed. Their infrastructure has been destroyed. Surely this could be the opportunity to change things significantly in for the future. Thoughts?
It could be, Howard. I'll tell you, if we make a very quick grocery list of what the regime still has in place, it reflects that the regime still has a lot of options and weaponry. Let's be very clear that Israel and the United States in this 47 day war has only degraded the Iranian regime missile capability by somewhere between 50 to 70%, meaning that the Iranian regime still has hundreds of short medium range ballistic missiles in their hands, and many of them, Howard, are housed underground. So it's not only the very dangerous, highly enriched 62% uranium, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away from being enriched enough to fuel 11 nuclear devices, as the Iranian foreign minister said himself. But that they have delivery systems that you know, in a matter of, let's say, they can use them right now to deter if there is a return to fighting. But let's bear in mind, there are many underground Iranian regime missile cities. And the United States hit one of them about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But they've got more up their sleeve. And the Strait of Hormuz, President Trump made a very sly and sophisticated move on the Strait of Hormuz. If you notice, they're pressuring China now to pressure Iran, because China gets 50% of all of its energy from the Middle East, 12% from Iran itself, and the rest from Saudi Arabia, Oman. So the Chinese are an excellent pressure point, and this is sort of to President Trump's credit as the ultimate economic warrior, to pressure China, to pressure Iran, to you know, stand down and heal. But I personally, having studied the Iranian regime for some 25 years, I'm very skeptical about where we are right now in terms of talks, a potential long-term agreement, because the Iranian regime lies, cheats, and steals for a living. That is their DNA. This is, I just want to mention it one more time, and I know I do it at the risk of annoying people for repeating this message.
No problem.
But Howard, the Iranian regime is an apocalyptic, jihadistic, messianic regime that has no problem mass murdering tens of thousands of its own people for going out to the streets and protesting the lack of food, lack of internet, lack of water, lack of economy, lack of jobs. And that's what they did in January. This is what we're dealing with. And they are religiously motivated to bring their own Messiah out, which requires massive Armageddon, Gog Magog events. That's what's driving them here. These are not Western thinkers.
Yeah.
These are not
and
thinkers
the mistake
like
South
is, Africa or like yeah. America.
And the mistake is to think that it is. Dr. Dan Dyker, thank you as always, talking to us about the potential benefits or not and concerns around this 10-day pause in fighting.